So we here at the BPP, we're kind of Google monkeys, but with our busy schedules, we can only get through about two-thirds of the World Wide Web every day. It's always that last third that's hard to get through for some reason. Now, to get a better sense for what is awesome on the internet this week, we're going to turn now to Scott Lamb. He's editor of BuzzFeed, which means he sees way more of what's going on out there than the rest of us. Probably like 98% of the internet maybe you get through a day. Do you think, Scott?
That last 2% is always really hard.
That last 2%, yeah, it's always tough to get through. Thanks for joining us. Before we get to what's happening this week, let's talk about a little bit of history about what BuzzFeed is, does for people that might not be familiar with the site. I mean, one thing you do is get a sense for what people are excited about on the internet, right? How do you figure that out?
A couple of different ways. I mean, we are trying to kind of track buzz, things that are kind of about to take off. So we have our own software that crawls the internet and reads a lot of different sites and will tell us if something is really exciting, people are linking to something. And then we read a lot, and we have a lot of different, Google blog search, every possible tool out there that looks at what people are reading online. We scan, and we just read a lot of sites every day.
And does some of it have to do with your own interests? I mean, do you just say, you know what, I'm going to go down this little rabbit hole and all of a sudden you decide, I think this is going to be a trend. I smell a trend on the web.
Sometimes we try and push stuff. I mean, that's kind of one of the interesting things of the job is we're reacting to things that are happening online, and sometimes we'll be like, you know what, this seems interesting. Let's see how far we can push it and see if it takes off.
Can you do the opposite? Can you kill something that you think is the object of faux buzz, like this Miley Cyrus controversy? Are people really into that?
Who's really upset about that? We don't do much in the way of killing. Like, we can kind of push stuff, but we don't try to do too much editorializing kind of on the negative side. We're trying to find stuff that people are mostly excited about.
Oh, yeah. The more buzz, the better for
you.
But we
do a lot of backlashes, which is kind of the opposite of buzz.
Let's talk about you. In this world, you have to develop some strategies. One of them that you have come up with is something called the mullet strategy. Do tell.
This was a term that Joan Peretti, who started the site, coined, which is kind of the idea being, it's all business up front and the party's in the back. That's where it gets crazy. And there are a lot of sites out there that kind of follow this strategy, like Dig. If you go to the front page of the site, it seems very orderly and you can kind of get a sense of what's going on. But it's huge and there's all sorts of stuff going on. People can link to basically anything online. And there's a lot of stuff going on kind of behind the scenes that the average user is never really going to come across that makes up a majority in some ways of the site.
So let's talk about some of that party in the back. Let's start with the stuff. Let's start a little highbrow. Tell us about what nose fetishism. I can't even say that. What is it with people who like pig noses? Why is this popular?
That's highbrow, by the way.
Yes, we are starting right at the top of the food chain. It definitely has something to do. Wikipedia defines nasophilia as just a nose fetish. People having an unusual attraction to people with pig noses. The thing about it recently, there was the movie
that Reese Witherspoon thing. Right?
Reese Witherspoon was
Christina Ricci. Pig movie named
and
after.
I think she was hoping
Penelope.
She was hoping to get some sort of Oscar buzz. I think usually when you don any sort of fake nose,
yes, right,
that's always
prosthesis
Oscar.
Exactly.
But Oscar turned up their noses.
But I think that really kind of that awakened people to the underground of nose fetishes, which if you go online, of course, you're going to find a lot of stuff about nose fetishes. Any sort of weird fetish that you've never heard of, the internet will inform you.
And so you're seeing a lot of this now. People uploading their own videos.
There's been a lot more chatter about it. Yeah, a lot of pig nose sites devoted solely to women with.
Wait, nasophilia should just mean any kind of nose fetish. Porcine nasophilia should be pig nose fetish.
I guess there is probably you can differentiate between those.
You should make that distinction in your own post.
Yeah. Sorry to all the nasophiliacs out there.
Something that's getting a lot of buzz is a blog called Postcards from Yo Mama. This just became the latest blog to book deal, apparently. Explain what this is about.
It's a pretty hilarious site. Basically, the model is they just publish emails that people send in that they get from their moms that are ridiculous or funny in some way. They're kind of heartening. It's not too ironic. They're not meant to really be making fun of moms, but a lot of them are about how moms don't understand technology or the intranet. And amazingly, they've already got a book deal. The site's been around for, I think, about a month and a half. And
I pulled one of the posts that I thought that was most hilarious. I mean, when I found out these were real, I was actually flabbergasted. I mean, here's a little exchange. It looks like a text message. "Mom, why don't you marry your friend Caroline? She can have a baby. Your brother could be the donor, so it would be my real grandchild. It would be your niece or nephew as well as your son and daughter. Me. Wow, it appears you've put some thought into this. Mom, it came to me last night. I thought it was an awesome idea. Run my idea by Caroline. I'll even pay for the psychiatrist the kid will need one day." This is sad to me. This is a little bit sad.
It is a bit sad. there's something definitely very voyeuristic about postcards from your mama. But, you know, kudos to them. It's a great idea. It's very easy for them to publish stuff. And they've got a book deal.
And finally, I know, right? And finally, I want to talk about Tina Fey. In that whole realm of talking about backlash and how you figure out if something is going to be really hot or when the tipping point will occur,
yeah,
and when will the backlash start. Tina Fey is that something called a knotlash?
She's in stasis, yes.
Stasis, internet stasis. Explain what that means.
Well, I was looking at this originally kind of hoping that there would be a big backlash. I like Tina Fey a lot, but she had, you know, the movie was coming out.
Right.
She's
Baby Mama,
30 Rock's done really well. People only ever say great things about how funny she is. So I went online hoping that there would actually be the kind of this brewing. And there's not. Like, it's totally – it's very even. And people seem, A, unwilling to say much bad about her, which is kind of understandable. But the buzz is kind of split, which I think is really rare. Usually once a backlash starts, it takes on a life of its own and people go crazy.
But that's some of what you do is look to the negative space. If someone's getting a lot of positive publicity, you look to go troll up the negative stuff and the reverse.
And couldn't find it with Tina Fey. Sadly.
See, it used to be true with John Cusack, too, and now we're living the backlash.
Yes.
Just watch out.
Scott Lamb, editor at BuzzFeed, filling us in on all that's new and cool and buzzworthy on the internet. We're going to have you back, Scott, to talk to us again.
Thanks
for being here.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.